Alrighty, I'm back again. We are going to change the order around a bit in this series. So we're not going to have, Lord's Supper as well. So you can leave that up if you like to. But we're not going to have our time of prayer now. So what we are going to do is, in the series, is we'll have the message. After that, there'll be a short video clip. And I'll mention that to you quickly as well, so I need to explain that later on. So, organization called Common Grace, connected to the Bible Society, did a series on the Lord's Prayer in 2015, leading up to Easter. And so we will be watching those video clips, even though it's after Easter and it's 2017, it's still very relevant. And a lot of the speakers will be, they're all Australian, but they're interdenominational, so there are an Anglican guy speaking, Catholic guy speaking, guy from Hillsong's speaking. So we'll get a broader view in some way on the Lord's Prayer as well. But we'll have the message every week, then we'll have the video clip, and that will lead us into prayer for that specific topic of the week. So I think it'll make more sense doing prayers after we've spoken about it and doing specific prayers in maybe creative ways as well as we go through the series. So you'll get the video clips later on, and we'll talk about that. But before we actually look at the word, let's do say a short prayer together and ask the Lord to be with us. So pray with me. Father God, we pray that you'll bless us today as we now look at your word. We pray that you'll lead us in discovering more what prayer should be and what our lives of prayer should be. And Lord, I just pray that you'll help us grow as a church in our prayers towards you, and that everything we do and say in life will be to the glory of your name. I pray that now as we open your word, Lord, and as we focus on these verses, that you'll be speaking to us as well through your Holy Spirit. Amen. Alrighty, so we are going to look at prayer, as I mentioned, and this will happen over the next, 7 weeks or so. Last week we had a look as an introduction to what the power of prayer is for us, and today we'll be focusing almost as an introduction as well into how we actually approach prayer. With what attitude do we approach God in prayer? And then next week we'll actually start with the Lord's Prayer itself and break it down in sections and look at what that prayer tells us and teaches us. But today it's all about our prayers and how we should be praying towards God. So just a couple of things once again regarding prayer. There are so many quotes that I can mention about prayer itself, and another one that I would like to share with you today comes from Martin Luther. Martin Luther said, "Just as the business of the tailor is making clothes, and the business of the cobbler is making shoes, so the business of the Christian is praying." So we all should be praying. It doesn't say the business of the pastor or the business of this or that. The business of a Christian. If you are a Christian, if you believe in Christ as your Savior, then your business should be praying. I think that helps understand how important prayers should be. And certainly prayers, or the life of prayer, is big business for us. We need to focus on that, and we do. And a lot of people talk about this. A lot of people write about this. If you go to Kurong, you'll find a whole section of books on prayer and how you can grow your prayer life, etc., etc. It was something that Jesus did constantly. We find him here once again in Luke 11, as we are told he was praying at a certain time in a certain place. He sometimes prayed right through the night. He lived a life of prayer. So we, as we want to follow his example, we want to grow more in prayer, and so we study prayers and we learn how to pray, and we have formal books of prayer even. But I think all of that sometimes causes us to lose that natural ability of just living a life of prayer. Prayer is just something that should come as natural to us, as Calvin said last week, like breathing. It's as important as breathing, and it's something we should just be doing in life every single day. When we looked at the power of prayer, some people look at prayer and they think that there's power in the words itself, which we noted last week isn't so. The power is in the person we are praying to. But some people try and use their prayers to kind of force God to give to them. And in relation to that, I thought I'd mention, so on the 22nd of April, a very significant day to myself, because that's when I age. But also it was a significant day in South Africa, because almost 1 million people gathered on a farm to pray together for change in the country. And it was quite impacting to see that, how 1 million people come together and pray together and worship the Lord together in an open-air setting. The wrong thing in that is that very often people look at those kind of circumstances and ask themselves or say to themselves, well, you know, if I pray and ask the Lord something, well, maybe he's going to listen, maybe not. I mean, if 1 million people come together, surely God is to answer their prayers. And that's the wrong way of looking at our prayers. God listens to all our prayers and answers all our prayers. We cannot force him to listen. Our prayers are wanting to be in contact with God and wanting to open our hearts to him, wanting to share with him. And this is something that's been around for thousands of years, where people from the beginning of time wanted to come in contact with their deity or with God. And even today, other religions have the same thing. Some religions have like a trance-like state they get into as they want to make contact with God. So the disciples went to Jesus as well in this passage and said to him, well, how do we do this? How do we make contact with God? Lord, teach us to pray. I guess in some ways it's saying, Lord, what's the Wi-Fi password to get in contact with God? How do we actually approach him and make contact with him? Note that they did not say, what are the words we should be saying, but they'd ask him in the original Greek as well, how do we pray? And then Jesus answers by teaching them the Lord's Prayer, but also by telling them this parable that we hear today as well. And I want to focus actually on that parable more than anything else. It's a very short story he tells them, but it has a very deep impacting importance, I think, for us in our prayer life. And that's what a parable is. It's a story that Jesus told, but it had a deeper meaning in it. So this is the story he tells them. He says to his disciples, look, there was a friend or guy who was on a journey, and he came to a friend and knocked on his door and wanted to stay over. And that's all and fine, because we understand that. We also taught that we need to be hospitable as Christians, and we open our doors to one another. Now, this traveler probably traveled at night. This is often what they did in summer. It was hot, it was warm in the daytime, so they waited until it was a bit cooler, and then they went on their journey. So at some stage during the night, he came to a friend, knocked on the door, said, look, I need a place to stay. Can you house me? And the friend said, of course, come in. And when this friend came in, the guy, the house owner, had a look around and said, cupboards are empty, I don't have any food to give this guy. And as they are traveling, surely they must all be hungry, so what do I feed them? So he, in turn, went to another friend and knocked on the door in the middle of the night, it says. So this would have been 2 or 3 in the morning. It wasn't midnight, it was middle of the night, it was dark. The circumstances are explained to us. We are told that the doors were locked, that this guy and his whole family was already asleep and have been sleeping for many hours. It was certainly inconvenient for him to get up and open the door and help this guy. But this guy went to this friend, knocked on the door, woke him up and said, hey friend, I have a guy that came to my place who's in need of some food. Do you perhaps have 3 loaves of bread for me? I wonder why 3 loaves. I had a thought about that, and I don't know the answer to that. Seems like there's always 3 of some sort, and 3 little pigs and whatever. But he had 3 loaves of bread. I don't know why it was 3 specifically. But that was the need. But this guy felt that he could go to his friend, wake him up, he was in need, knock on the door, ask for 3 loaves of bread. That's the parable. And then Jesus said, well, that friend might be hesitant at first to open the door and to help this guy out, but because of his boldness, because of the fact that he actually did this, surely this friend would then get up and, if he had bread, then give him the bread. We all know these friends, I guess, and we all count on them, and maybe you have those kind of friends that you are able to go to in the middle of the night and wake them up if you are in need. I hope you have those kind of relationships with others. If not friends, then maybe family members. But those are certainly people that you count on in life, people that you know you can depend on. That's the story. What's the lesson behind it? What does Jesus want to tell his disciples in how we should be praying? Well, the first thing I think that we learn from this parable, this story, and need to draw into our prayer life is the fact that God answers our prayers. It's so important to understand that in approaching God in our prayers, that we need to understand that He actually listens and answers. Now, what Jesus did was here was a logical way of looking at things, a logical argument of going from a lesser situation to a bigger situation. So I used the same example this morning, and luckily no one came to me afterwards, but I'll use the same here. So if you come to me after the service asking for $10 to borrow, I'll hopefully be able to tell you, yeah, sure, here's $10 to lend you. But if I was a millionaire, oh, even more so, I would be willing to borrow you $10. So from a lesser situation to a bigger situation. So what Jesus was saying here is this. Look, if this friend would be willing to get up in the middle of the night and give a friend some bread, surely our Heavenly Father and our God will also give to us the things we need. That's the bigger situation. Surely God will do this. Why? Because we have a God who also gives us His Son for salvation. Not just the bread we need to eat, but also the bread of life. So surely that God who's willing to do that will provide to us if we ask Him for things. Psalm 121 says, God is someone who never sleeps nor slumbers. He's always there, always concerned for us, always caring for us. So surely, if a friend who's asleep will get up to help a friend, surely God, who's never asleep, never slumbers, always concerned for us, will listen to our prayers and will give what we need. If a friend who's irritated with being bothered in the middle of the night and is willing to get up and provide food, surely God, who loves us unconditionally, will give to us what we need. That's the argument that He wants His disciples to understand. That God is willing to give us so much more. And as an example, in verse 13, He even says, look, if you ask God for His Holy Spirit, He will not withhold that, but He will actually give you Himself to be with you. That is how much God will answer your prayers. God provides everything we need. If we ask the Lord for bread, He sustains us in life and gives us all the things we need. But even more so, if we ask for faith, He strengthens our faith and gives us the Holy Spirit to guide us. If we ask peace, we find in God's word that there will be a peace that transcends all understanding that will come on us. If we need comfort in times of struggle, surely God will provide that. If we need life, surely God, the giver of life, will give us life eternal. That is how God provides. And that is how this parable teaches us about God, who actually gives us all the things we need. So how do we approach Him? Well, this parable teaches us that this friend knocked on the other friend's door seeking help and seeking bread, and he did so in boldness, or other translations say persistence, and there are even some translations that actually say more true to the original language, shameless audacity. That's the attitude this guy had when he knocked on his friend's door. Shameless. He didn't have shame. He didn't feel guilty. You might be thinking that he's actually testing this friendship. I mean, how would you feel if someone wakes you up at 3 a.m. for a loaf of bread? Well, I don't think the needs are the same, but if they wake you up for certain other things, and if you are truly a friend and they are truly friends, then you would help them out. But this guy had shameless audacity in approaching his friend. And I think we learn a couple of things from that. The first thing we need to actually see and understand is that this guy didn't go to his friend because of any self-centered reasons. It's not him seeking bread. He wasn't hungry. He actually had someone else that he wanted to serve and bless. Self-centered prayers are a different thing. But if we are focused on blessing others, focused on God and His kingdom, then surely God answers those prayers. But also think about this friend who knocked on the door of his friend. How he trusted that friend. He knew that he could knock on that door because that friend knows him. That friend is someone who will help him. That friend is someone who surely has bread in his house, he must have been thinking. Someone that understands his situation. You all know the expression, I'm sure, a friend in need is a friend indeed. And this is the practical situation of that. This was a true friend. Now, we sing the song so often, the very old hymn saying, what a friend we have in Jesus. And we can go to Him in prayer. We can go to Him in everything, the hymn continues to say. And that is what God wants us to understand in this parable. We have a friend who knows us, who understands what we need, who has the means to give to us everything we need in life. Someone we can depend on and trust. Someone we can actually approach with shameless audacity. Because we know who we are approaching. So as we go to God in our prayers, this is how we should be approaching Him. With boldness. With persistence. Knowing that He's that person that can provide what we are asking for. In fact, Hebrews 11 verse 6 says the same thing. It says, without faith it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. If we approach God in faith, if we approach God in this boldness, this shameless audacity almost, God knows that we show our dependence on Him and our trust in Him in that way. If we open our hearts to Him and we are honest and ask Him for all our needs, we know that He can give and He knows that we are showing dependence on Him. That's the attitude we should have towards prayer. The things what we were saying in those prayers are what we'll be looking at over the next number of weeks. What are the content of our prayers? What do we actually take to the Lord as we approach Him? But the way we approach Him should be like a friend approaching a friend that he can trust on. Or son or daughter approaching a father who we know cares and will provide and care for us. A shameless audacity in life. So it's like me going to God and knowing that no matter what my sin is, no matter how long it has been since my previous prayer, I can approach God with shameless audacity because in Christ, He will listen to me and give to me what I need. I need not be worried about the words I'll use or how long my prayer will be or what the content of it will be or what I'll say wrong perhaps. Because as I approach Him and knock on His door, He will open and He will listen and He will give me what I need. It might not be what I desire, it might not be exactly what I'm asking, but what God will give is either a yes or a no or not at this point. But He always gives back. He always answers all our prayers. And because of that, we approach Him in boldness. May we grow in that as well as we come to God in our lives of prayer. Now, we're going to try and watch the video clip. So, Tim, it's actually in a presentation. So, it's not in Easy Worship. It's called Prayer One, I think, and it's
hi, I'm Jared McKenna, the National Director for Common Grace, a diverse movement of Christians who are passionate about Jesus and justice. Why, with so many of our world's most pressing problems, Are we starting a movement that actually simply asks teachers to pray? Maybe like me, you have made prayer something other than what Jesus is on about. There are times in my walk when I've been oblivious to the power of how Jesus teaches us to pray, thinking that my jibber-jabbering in prayer must be more spiritual. Times when the heaping up of my words have been a real distraction from our world's most pressing problems. To tell you something you probably already know, there is incredible power when our prayer lives grow past inviting Jesus into our heart and grows into Jesus' invitation into God's heart. The team have put together some brilliant resources, including video content from exceptional Bible teachers and friends from across the breadth of the church. Friends like John Dixon, Jackie Gray, Uncle Graham Paulson, Tim Costello, Mark Coleridge, just to name a few. They'll be inviting us into the power of how Jesus teaches us to pray as we look to his cross and resurrection this Easter. Why a movement asking teach us to pray? If we open up the 11th chapter of Luke's Gospel, we find Jesus in prayer and his disciples come to him once he is finished and simply ask, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. Now on the surface, we might hear this as a simple question about methods of prayer. And that would be a much safer conversation. A conversation where we wouldn't need to connect Jesus' prayer to how he lived that prayer. But if we scratch the contextual surface, we start to realize that rabbis at the time would sum up their message and movement in just one prayer. When John the Baptist and other Jewish teachers taught their followers to pray, it wasn't a question of mantras or methods or how many words. It was a very Jewish question. Sum up for us the message of your movement and how we are to understand the Hebrew people's history and hope. In asking Jesus to teach us to pray, we will discover a prayer that is deeper than the needs of every human heart and wider than the pressing problems of our world. So this is your personal invitation. Join me and all of us at Common Grace and the Bible Society in seeking what God is on about as we pray the Lord's Prayer in the lead up to Easter. Let's see God's name recognized in all its beauty. As we seek first on earth this reign of a king who is coronated on a cross and reigns in love, sign up, choose a few mates to walk with you on this journey, and let's really enter this season with hearts open to the Holy Spirit, who longs to make us more like Jesus.
So lordsprayer.com.au if you want to have a look at the video clips, but you will see them every week, as he said, leading up to Easter. I guess any time of the year is leading up to the next Easter, but it's a long time before we get to Easter again. But for us, it's going to be an answer to the Easter we've just celebrated. Let's pray together now, and in that prayer, ask the Lord to grow our prayers. So let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your love and your mercy in Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that we know you care so much for us that you've even given us your Son, and you will not withhold anything we need in life, anything that is good for us. If we ask, Lord, you hear and you answer. Lord, as your disciples also approached you, asking for you to teach them to pray, Lord, so do we. Some of us may have been praying now for many years. Some of us maybe aren't praying enough. Some of us maybe do not know how to pray or do not pray, Lord, the way that you want us to. So I ask that you'll teach us all, Lord, and guide us all so that we'll all grow in our lives of prayer. I pray, Lord, that we'll all just consider the way we approach you, the way we make contact with you, the way we share with you, the way we open our hearts to you. But I thank you, Lord, also today for teaching us that we can and should and must approach you the way that this friend approached his friend. By knocking on the door boldly, expecting help and support, trusting and depending on that friend. And so we too, Lord, know that we can approach you and pray to you, knowing that you know us, You know our needs. You know who we are. You know our shortcomings. You know our sins and our struggles. And yet, Lord, you encourage us once again to tell us that surely you would open the door to us. You would be there for us. You will provide not only the bread we need in this life, but you actually provide the bread of life so that we might have life eternal. Lord God, we thank you that we can approach you today and bring all our petitions to you. And as we will have the retiring offering today, we also, Lord, especially commit to you the Chen family. We know, Lord, we understand that at this point in time that it would be a pressing issue on the hearts of Simon and Susanna, as well as they think about their families and how they provide and care for three kids and pay off a new home loan and just so many things happening there. But and still also be praying for their church members and thinking of others. I pray, Lord, that you'll bless them, that you'll be with that family, but also be with that church in a time when struggles can certainly be testing on them and even be temptations to draw them away from you. I pray, Lord, keep their faith strong. Show them your love and mercy, not only for those church members, Lord, but for that whole community and people throughout our state who have been impacted the same way. Lord God, I do pray for us as a church as well, and I do pray that as we go through this series that we will understand how our prayers should be, could be, how we want them to be, but most of all, Lord, they will come to you honest, earnestly, confidently, and that each one of us will take this opportunity to pray more, to engage with you more and seek you more in life. I pray, Lord, that you hear this prayer today and that you'll be with us in the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen.